You would open your Bibles this morning with me to 1 Samuel chapter 4. I'm going to read 1 through 18. And Samuel's word came to all Israel. Now the Israelites went out to fight against the Philistines. The Israelites camped at Ebenezer and the Philistines at Aphek. The Philistines deployed their forces to meet Israel, and as the battle spread, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 of them on the battlefield. When the soldiers returned to camp, the elders of Israel asked, "Why did the Lord bring defeat on us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Lord's Covenant from Shiloh, so that he may go with us and save us from the hand of our enemies." So the people sent men to Shiloh, and they brought back the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord Almighty, who was enthroned between the cherubim. And Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. When the Ark of the Lord's Covenant came into the camp, all Israel raised such a great shout that the ground shook. Hearing the uproar, the Philistines asked, "What is all this shouting in the Hebrew camp?" When they learned that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp, the Philistines were afraid. "A god has come into the camp," they said. "Oh no, nothing like this has happened before. We are doomed. Who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? They are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all kinds of plagues in the wilderness. Be strong, Philistines. Be men, or you will be subject to the Hebrews as they have been to you. Be men and fight." So the Philistines fought, and the Israelites were defeated. And every man fled to his tent. The slaughter was very great. Israel lost 30,000 foot soldiers. The Ark of God was captured, and Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, died. That same day, a Benjamite ran from the battle line and went to Shiloh with his clothes torn and dust on his head. When he arrived, there was Eli sitting on his chair by the side of the road, watching, because his heart feared for the Ark of God. When the man entered the town and told what had happened, the whole town sent up a cry. Eli heard the outcry and asked, "What is the meaning of this uproar?" The man hurried over to Eli, who was 98 years old and whose eyes had failed so he could not see. He told Eli, "I have just come from the battle line. I fled from it this very day." Eli asked, "What happened, my son?" The man who brought the news replied, "Israel fled before the Philistines, and the army has suffered heavy losses. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the Ark of God has been captured." When he mentioned the Ark of God, Eli fell backward off his chair by the side of the gate. His neck was broken, and he died, for he was an old man, and he was very heavy. He had led Israel 40 years. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, most gracious and almighty and wonderful God, Lord, I just ask that you be with us this morning as we seek to learn more about you and study your word, Lord. Just open our minds and our hearts to you and show us and teach us all, Lord, a little more about you and a little more about our own selves. Lord, be with me as I give this message. Lord, let these be your words and not mine. In thy name we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. I'm going to ask you the same question I asked the kids. How many of us like to feel special? All of us do. Go a little farther. How many of us feel like, since we're Christians, that God is on our side and we're invincible? It's important to understand how the Israelites viewed themselves as God's chosen people. They started to believe that they're the only people on earth that God cared about. I can imagine the young people, the young Israelite children, sitting in their schools, learning history, And every page they turned in their history book was another story of how God had led them to victory. Battle after battle, they defeated their enemy. Story after story of how God had cared for them and miraculously provided food and shelter and water. And they probably started thinking, God must really love us. We're better than everyone else. As history shows us, when life is good, and we're told that we're God's people, if we're not careful, our sinful nature can take over, take hold of us, start to tell us that we're the only church, or the only group, or even race that is truly right, the only ones that God really loves. Start to feel as though God loves us more than other people. We start to feel invincible. But this feeling does not come from God. This feeling comes from the devil and can lead to sinful behavior and blasphemy of God. We resort back to that first sin of wanting to be like God. Our self-righteousness can give way to selfish ambition and impure acts, such as those listed in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. I'll just read them off this morning. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. A lot of the higher up people in the church in Israel at this time were doing many of these sinful acts. As we see even in 1 Samuel 2, 12 through 26, if you read that, Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they were servants of the priests. They served in the temple. And they were stealing meat that was intended to be brought before God as a sacrifice. They were threatening people who brought their sacrifices up and taking their meat from them for themselves. They were also committing fornication and adultery with the women who served at the tent of meeting. And Eli was the prominent prophet at this time. It says that he ruled for 40 years. And even he had chosen to overlook the sins that his sons were committing. We see in chapter 3, verse 1, that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. In those times, it was very common for God to speak through visions and dreams or audible voices. However, such instruction from God was usually directed to those who were devoted to God's work here on earth, and who are open to hearing the voice of God. Many priests and elders would spend much time in prayer and meditation and silence, waiting to hear a word from the Lord. But we see how the Israelites at this point, their lives were, at this point in their lives, that their lives were going so smoothly. Even the elders and leaders of Israel became complacent in their faith. They no longer listened for God's voice. As we see, the young boy Samuel is the only one that God chose to speak to because his heart was pure at this time. So in this instance, when they lost the battle, to the Philistines. We see how shocked they were. They asked what had gone wrong. Where was God? We're God's people. We should have won this battle. But I want to speak a little bit about what they didn't. It never says that they did. It never speaks of them praying to God and asking for His help. Even after the battle, they're quick to blame God for the loss. But they're not humble enough to ask God for strength or forgiveness. Instead, they get this great idea. Let's bring the Ark of the Covenant into our camp. Bring it here. God will be with us. We'll take it along into battle with us. We're going to win next time because God's here. You see how inwardly focused they were? It wasn't about God. It was about them. And these are the good, God-fearing people of the world at this point. How many times do you and I find ourselves trying to force things to happen? We say things like, God is on our side, so we will not fail. We can be so sure of it. And sometimes God allows us to fail. As Christians, I wonder how often we just assume that God will take our half-hearted efforts and make them into something wonderful just because He can. And God does do that because we're all imperfect beings. But sometimes we can become complacent and just think, God will be with me. I only have to do half the work. The Israelites thought that since they believed in God, that God would meet all of their needs. You might even say that they had faith in God, that they would win. But why didn't they win that first battle? Because they did not give God the honor. They did not ask for God's help. Even when they brought the Ark of the Covenant to their town, God did not instruct them to do so. In the past, we see how God used many unusual and miraculous ways to win the battles for the Israelites. The difference is that previous generations would humbly ask for God's help. And God would help so long as they followed His instructions. I have an example of what happens when God's people do not follow His instruction. I'm going to read Numbers 20, verse 6 through 12 this morning. Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the town. To the entrance to the tent of meeting, they fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water." And in this instance, they're in the desert, and their livestock and their people were dying of thirst. "You will bring water out of that rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence just as He commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, listen to this, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community to the land I give them. And this is the second time that God instructed Moses to bring water from a rock. The first time, God told Moses to strike the rock with a staff, and it poured forth water. This time, God instructed him to speak to the rock. But Moses took it in his own hands, and he struck the rock with his staff like he was doing it. Listen, rebels, must we bring the water out of the rock? Moses didn't listen to God's instruction. He got caught up in that powerful feeling of being godlike. He can do it. So he hit that rock. Moses' words and actions here indicate how sinful he was, how selfish that desire was in him. And this was Moses, an extremely godlike man. His actions did not exalt or honor God. If we're not careful, we can be drawn into twisting God into a supreme being who merely meets our needs. Hear this. Just because Jesus modeled servanthood when he walked this earth does not mean that we get to view him as our servant. We are his servants. We ought to do his work. God does not have to answer our prayers, especially if we're praying in the wrong way or for the wrong reasons. It's important to remember that in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus specifically and purposefully taught us to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will, not our will. It's not about us. Let's look a little bit more at the story. You see in verses 5 through 8 that when the ark came to the camp, the Israelites shouted so loud that the Philistines heard them. This means that the two camps were very close together. Also, we see that the way the Philistines viewed God was very similar to the way that the Israelites wrongly viewed God. The Israelites thought that since the ark was in their camp, that the battle was going to be won. Almost a form of idol worship. They thought that God was in the ark, that they could physically take God with them. And the Philistines were scared because that is how they viewed gods, as something that could be carried along. But instead of running away, we see how the Philistines fought hard. And they won this battle. The Israelites fought, but God was not with them because of their selfish misuse of God's power, but also because God was punishing them. God used this terrible situation to show his power not only to the Israelites, but to all nations. I didn't read about this, but if you go home and read the rest of the story, after the Philistines captured the ark, God sent a plague of boils on all the people in the town that the ark was kept. So the Philistines moved it to another town, and the plague of boils came over that town as well. And they got so frustrated that they hooked the ark up on a cart with a bunch of peace offerings of gold and behind two cattle, and they sent the ark away. and the cattle walked back to the Israelite camp. And when the Israelites saw that Ark of the Covenant returning, they praised God, they slayed the cattle, and offered them as a sacrifice to God, as a way of saying that they had learned their lesson, so to speak. So not only did the Israelites become humbled and turn back to God, we also see that the Philistines were given a much better respect for God and an understanding of who He was through this. If the Israelites would not outreach to the Philistines, then God would find a way. He didn't kill them. He just gave them boils so that they would understand His power. We as God's people need to remember to glorify God and God alone. Lamentations 3, verse 25. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. I'm reminded of the words of an old hymn. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. I urge you to go home and read this story today or this week. Surprising to see how God works in such great ways to show all of the people at that time that He is powerful and almighty. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.